Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. Bill Harrison is with us, ladies and gentlemen. He's back. He's president of Demand Solutions, and they're an organization that's works with companies all around the world to help them with their software support, with services and training to help them maximize their profits as they manage their assets, all of their assets, not only the physical assets but the humankind. And he's here to talk to us about what he thinks about what you and I have to look forward to in the economy and what we can do to make sure that we're still surviving and thriving 6 to 8 months from now. Bill, welcome back to the show.
Morning, Jim. Thanks for having me back.
It's good to have you back. Bill, you're traveling quite a bit, and you're talking to business owners all around the world. You know, we see in the media that it seems like the economy, maybe we're hearing that it's turned the corner. Frankly, I'm starting to see a teeny tiny little glimmer of light at the end of the tunnel that doesn't look like a headlight coming at us. What are your thoughts?
Well, it's true. I mean, if you look, I mean, officially this recession started December of 2007. So we're 18 months into it. Usually recessions last 12 months, they say. But what's been different about this one is I'm going to speculate and say it's our first truly global recession we've ever had.
You're talking about since the Depression or including the Depression?
I'm saying even including the Depression.
This is truly,
it's not just what happens here, but it's what happens in every other country.
Right.
And companies in the U.S. have been outsourcing their manufacturing. They've been buying goods from other countries that are produced there by other people. And, you know, there's been a tectonic shift away from manufacturing in the U.S. for years and years and years.
Right.
And we've become more of a service-oriented business. Well, then, you know, if you've looked at what's happened in the last few years, the weakness of the dollar, it's actually brought some manufacturing back.
That's right.
And it's taken away from the other countries. And, you know, if you look at what's portrayed out here with the auto industry, the financial sector, the housing market, those three things are generally big drivers of our economy.
Mm-hmm.
And as those things start to wane, people get nervous. And when people get nervous, they stop spending money.
Which is exactly what's happened.
Right. And companies, they keep projecting, and what's happened with companies, and this is where companies get in trouble, is they never look beyond and say, you know, at some point, you know, this linear line that we have going up has to flatten out,
mm-hmm.
and things have to slow down a little bit. And they don't plan for that, and they kept buying things like inventory, their second largest asset. They kept buying more goods, building more goods, you know, trying to take more orders.
But now, Bill, don't you agree, though, that the recession that we're in right now didn't have to happen, that it wasn't caused by excesses in the supply chain? It was caused by excesses in leverage on Wall Street and terrible policies by our government?
Well,
you disagree with that?
No, I agree with it fully. What this recession did, and the difference here is, you're right, it started from the housing industry. I mean, when we relaxed standards on who could get a loan for a mortgage for a home anymore.
Relaxed? How about non-existent? Forget it, relaxed.
Exactly. And now all of a sudden you've got all this demand and no supply, so people could just ratchet up prices because people were in need of this. And then now that the bottom's fallen off and you got all these derivatives and you got mark-to-market forces out there that are driving the value of these assets, banks ran out of money. And it's a lot of reason, but then it comes back, and what happened with this, and you're right, while it started with the financial sector, what it ultimately did, though, is it took capital away from small and mid-sized businesses.
That's right, and it did show, what that did show was that the rest of the economy wasn't prepared for this kind of a downturn. We didn't have any rainy day funds at all, or any rainy day preparation either. You're right about that.
Yeah, well, if you look at it, last year was the first year on record in the United States we've had a negative savings level in this
right.
country.
Right.
People use their homes for ATMs.
That's exactly that happened for over a decade. So what do we learn from all this?
You know, we learn that we have to be conservative. I mean, we learn that as people and as businesses, we have to be more conservative.
But that's no fun, you know? Bill. That's
I know,
no fun.
It's never fun, is it? But you know what? At the end of the day, if you run your business well, and that's what we're all here for, right? You know, I run a small business. You know, I help other businesses run their business better by managing their inventory with our software. And the more that we can do that, the more that we'll see that the businesses that are strong going into these come out stronger in the end. I, you're right. I travel a lot, and I was out in Portland, Oregon recently with one of our customers. And their business is actually going up substantially because a lot of their competitors are failing now. And they're taking business from their competitors that are going under. Mm-hmm. And the strong businesses will always survive. The people that do a good job managing their company, managing their assets, managing their inventory, they're going to strive. And, yes, they're not going to see double-digit sales growth. But, you know, if they can break even and keep a positive cash flow, which is what it's all about for a small
right.
mid-sized business,
right.
they're going to succeed.
Well, talk to us about some of the things that you think we can take away from this in terms of managing our business. You know, one of the things I've talked about on this show for as long as I've been doing this, since 1997, has been focusing on the fundamentals.
Well, and you're exactly right. What happened because of the dot-com boom and what's happened with technology and what's happened with this global economy, you know, we've all gotten what the term I use is happy years, right? Mm-hmm. We keep hearing and drinking our own Kool-Aid that things are going to go strong forever, and we lose sight of the fundamentals. And at the end of the day, a good leader, a good leader of an organization has to go back to the skills of more of in tune of a chief operating officer. So mm-hmm. paying attention to the details. You can't just look at the top line number. You can't just look at the bottom line number and be happy. You've got to look at all those numbers in between and see how they add up. And if you do that, if you manage that, I mean, not every business is going to be a success. I don't want to say
right.
that.
Right.
Gosh, if you do that, it's a wonderful thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you still have to have the right products. You have to have the right idea, the right concept, and people have to like your and want to buy your products.
Right.
And at the end of the day, what I tell everybody that works for our organization is you're all in sales.
Yeah.
Every time you pick up that phone, you're in sales.
Hold on to that thought, Bill. We're going to take a quick break, folks. I'm going to get Bill to provide more specifics. We're going to get more into this thing more specifically and talk about some things that you can do to help you be ready for to not only survive what we're in right now, but be ready for the coming expansion, whatever that is going to be. 20 after. Stay with us. Welcome back. It's 23 after the hour. Little Les Mark Knopfler on guitar. That's it. Those are his fingers picking those strings. Mark Knopfler with the Dire Straits. That's right. That's that group. I'm Jim Blasingame. Welcome back. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Thank you very much for checking it out and using it to your advantage. We built it so you could have the maximum opportunity to be successful. And I hope you check out my blog and my newsletter and my knowledge base and all the other things that are there, the articles, the archives, the Brain Trust members, lots of stuff there that will help you have the maximum opportunity with your small business. And whatever you got, whatever's going on in your life, whatever's happening to your small business, if you're starting one or growing one, we got something that will help you there in lots of different sizes and shapes and time periods and media. So check it out, smallbusinessadvocate.com. Bill Harrison is our guest. He's president of Demand Solutions. And Bill, give us the website and tell us a little bit about your company.
It's www.demandsolutions.com. And we specialize in software for the small and mid-sized enterprise to manage their inventory, supply chain management software. All the way.
Is it just supply chain, or are there other components, other elements to that, or is it just supply chain?
Well, it's supply chain, but we also do sales and operations planning and then collaboration to help people manage across their entire enterprise, all the way back from their suppliers to their end customers.
Right. Okay. And does it integrate with another software, with the operating software, the accounting software? Is it? Do you include? Is there something included in there?
Well, we actually interface to all those systems. It doesn't matter whose they are, and we basically round out what you need to manage these larger assets of yours.
Okay. And they can find out more about that at demandsolutions.com.
Yes.
Okay. So folks, check that out. Bill, let's talk about what do you see this glimmer of light that I'm seeing? I'm not saying it's moving fast. I'm not saying the light's getting bigger very fast, but I do see the correction happening, and I don't like the numbers where we are, but I like the trend. What do you think?
Oh, I like the trend as well. I mean, if you look recently, both Bloomberg and Wall Street, they wrote articles about how inventories are falling, so we're at the bottom. Because what happens in one of these recessions is companies end up with too much inventory, they stop producing because they don't have the orders or the sales for them, and they have to bleed through, write off, get rid of obsolescence, do all the wonderful things they do when they overbuy. And they have to bleed those inventory levels back down. They're back down to where they need to be now, but it's going to be about, I'm guessing, another 6 months before you start seeing them really fire up the foundries. And
so you're saying we're at the bottom, and we're probably going to stay at the bottom for just a little while longer.
Exactly. Cause people
and you know what? That's probably a good thing, because the last thing in the world we need to do, I mean, this thing that we're in right now, I didn't cause it. You didn't cause it. Some other people caused it that I've mentioned in earlier this hour. But regardless, all Americans and really all of us around the world need to learn a lesson from what's happened. And if we recover from this thing too soon and get fat again too soon, we won't learn that lesson. Bill, what do you think?
Well, no, and we can't recover too fast because of two main drivers: housing and automotive. I mean, people aren't rushing out to buy cars. People in the last decade have been going and buying a new car every year, every 2 years, and they finally realized that, like me, you can drive one 10 years.
Yeah.
They keep going.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have to keep spending that money on a depreciable asset.
Right. Free miles are pretty...
Pardon?
Free miles are pretty good, aren't they, once you get the thing paid for?
I've got 206,000 on one of my cars, and that's the one I drove to work today.
So let's talk about some.
It's still going strong.
Let's talk about some specific things that our business owners can do to get ready for this next recovery. What would be the first thing you'd encourage them to do?
They need to go through their entire book. They need to look at every way they can cut costs in their organization and do it. And I mean, no rock should be left unturned.
Well, now you're talking about fat. Are you talking about fat, or are you talking about meat too?
I'm talking, no, never cut muscle if you don't have to. I mean, for a small-sized business, you know, there's an old saying, you know, most small businesses have more hats than they have heads to put them on.
Yep.
And what happens there is a small business, people do multitasking. And a big company like a GE or Home Depot, when they announce they're laying off 5,000 people, that's nothing. They can go find 5,000 people, and they have plenty of people to take care of the balance
right.
of the work. Small, mid-sized business, though, every time you take out somebody, you're taking out muscle.
Yeah.
You just are.
So what so fat are you talking
about? Find a way to manage that all the time.
At this point in time, though, Bill, hasn't most small business owners cut most of the fat that they can?
Hard to say. I mean, there's still sectors.
I mean, what's left to be cut? I got about a minute left. If we've got all the fat cut and we're ready to, now we're trying to plan for success, what's the first step you would take?
Like I said, I'd go through my balance sheet and look for every way I can keep cutting other things, you know, intangibles, not just people, because you've got to get that balance sheet in order. You've got to look across your enterprise, you know, like Ford Motor did, and you got to give your hats off to Ford. They didn't take any government bailout money. They started managing, spinning off assets before all this started, and they've got a balance sheet that lets them work their way through this.
Mm-hmm.
They're an example of a very well-run company.
I'll tell you what really saved Ford, though. They were not highly leveraged years ago. They owned a lot of assets they were able to leverage and kept them from having to go to the government. That was another thing that they did, which means keep your debt down. Hey, Bill, give us the website one more time, please.
It's demandsolutions.com.
Hey, thanks, Bill, for being here. Good job today. We'll see you next time.
Thank you, Jim.
Bill Harrison, ladies and gentlemen, with Demand Solutions. Quick break. Stay with me. Right back with Ken Lebo. We're going to talk about Web 2.0. You know what that is? It's the next thing after Web 1.0. Stay with us.
Silver horses flying down moonbeams in your dark eyes.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.